Hello, Blazers fans. Welcome to the Blazer Focus Podcast. I am Aaron Fentress along with Andrew Thien, and we are days away from the start of training camp. I am blindsided. I knew it was coming, but I tried to just suppress it and pretend like it wasn't happening. And then it's just like a freight train. It just came around the mountain and just smacked me in the face. Monday, I will be at the Moda Center for Media Day. Neil Olshey will speak, Chauncey Billups will speak, and select players, which I'm sure will include Dame and CJ. Do you have your season tickets, Andrew? Are you ready for the season?
You know, I was just talking to our colleague, Jayathi Ramakrishnan, earlier today. I think, who's a big NBA head as well. I think I'll be comfortable going in maybe, February, March, something like that. But I'll be watching on my couch, I think, in the meantime. And I'm very excited. Fall is here. Football is back. You know, basketball is about to get started. This is, for me, it's like the most exciting time of the year.
I'm with you, man. It definitely is. You know, as far as going to the games, you know, I think people are going to have to think about this a little bit, you know, because just, well, for me, just because of the Delta variant. Wait, is it Delta variant? Is
that right? Yeah, Delta variant. That's the one we know of right now, at least.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I said Delta, and I thought, wait, that's is that right? Anyway, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think fans are going to go. I think vaccinated fans are just going to go and just be like, we miss NBA. People were clamoring for it last spring. So we'll see how that works out. But I have some season ticket partners who were like, yeah, we're not sure what we want to do.
You know, even just saying it, Aaron, saying February, March, I'm already, now that you just started talking about, thinking in my mind, okay, who am I kidding? Maybe December sounds pretty good, or November.
Yeah, December, November. That game is looking pretty good. Anyway, so we'll see what happens there, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about my 5 points of emphasis for this Blazers training camp. These are the 5 things I will be looking out for the most, and that I have a hunch that the Blazers, well, I don't have a hunch. I mean, they've talked about these things all summer. So I just sort of ranked them in my own little order. Just to sort of, this is like an exercise to try and get my mind wrapped around the fact that this marathon is about to start very, very quickly. And it took me a while too. I was sitting there going, Nurkic and I guess the defense. Anyway. All right. So number 5, sorting out the bench situation with the guards. Now, Anthony Simons, as someone said to me, if Anthony Simons gets beaten out by any of these guys, that's on Simons, right? Well, they brought in Quinn Cook. They brought in Dennis Smith Jr. They brought in Ben McLemore. So they brought in some, and all of them can shoot. Like Cook is a career 40% shooter. Actually, Smith is not much of a shooter. He looked like he was going to be, but he fell off. He's really athletic though. But Cook and McLemore can light it up. And then they brought in, Snell, that small forward, who can light it up. Simons can light it up. Like, there's so many guys on this team. There's probably 8 guys on this team who have the potential to shoot 40% from three. So that to me is going to be interesting. My hunch is that, well, McLemore's going to make it.
Right.
I think Cook is going to challenge Patterson a forward and Marquise Chris a forward. I kind of think one of the forwards might make the team, but it's going to be interesting just to sort of see how things pan out with the guard position, because your 2 best players, actually 3 or 4 best players are guards, and one Norman Powell is being made to play small forward. But anyway, what's your take on this crew and then bringing in all these guys who, other than Smith, can shoot lights out?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised, honestly, that Quinn Cook was out there and available. I guess I haven't really tracked him, and time gets away from you, but I remember him playing pretty well, shooting, like you said, lights out for the Warriors. So, but when I see those names, I mean, where's the defensive capabilities, right? Do any of them play a lick of defense? I'm a little interested in whether that plays into this at all, because Anthony Simons, I mean, he showed flashes last year for the first time in the most consistent minutes he's gotten of his career, but also, just in terms of actually having some moments where you thought, okay, this guy is figuring it out. So I wouldn't put him on the same level as those guys. But I guess, you know, when you think of what it takes to be a really good defender in the league, incredible athletic ability helps. Does Dennis Smith Jr. have something in him that maybe he can bring it on that side of the ball. I don't know. This is kind of a big chance for him to prove that he belongs. So I'd be kind of curious if he plays well in training camp.
Yeah, Simons on 538 had one of the worst defensive ratings in the league last season. And for much of the year, when I would go look at the top 300, he would be 300th or 299th.
Brutal.
But what's funny, though, is that when CJ came back and they went and got Powell, Simons disappeared from the rotation. Like, he literally got some DNPs or maybe played just a few minutes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he was back in the mix and became part of the regular eight going into the playoffs. And Stott said the main reason was because his defense turned the corner. So, you know, maybe not that Stott has a high bar for defense. I think Stott's really liked his 42% 3-point shooting, maybe more. But supposedly he had turned the corner on defense. And, so maybe that will continue into this season. I saw a lot of videos and stills of him, you know, working out in the weight room, trying to add some strength. And that's always been one of his problems, is that he's so slight. He was so young. He was just a smallish guy. And if he's, you know, if he put on 5 or 7 pounds of muscle and got stronger, increased his bench, you know, then maybe he'll be even better of a defender this year. As far as the rest of the dudes, I looked them up since you brought it up. Quinn Cook last year, 104 defensive rating, 105 the year before, 102, 102. Like, his worst was 18-19. He was 112. But the last – actually, I take that back. Sorry. Last season, he was 104 total, 105 with Cleveland, 102 with the Lakers. So it was all in 1 year. And then 102 the previous year, which was the Lakers. So his last two seasons, he's been better than everyone on the Blazers roster with his defensive rating.
Man, so that shows what I know. You know, in my mind, he was still a Warrior, but that was like 3 years ago. That's embarrassing. Well, I guess
he's been bouncing around, man.
The thing that, you know, I'm glad you mentioned Simons apparently turning a corner, because, you know, I remember when he was a rookie, you know, thinking, well, you know, he kind of seemed a little like he was a little frisky on that side of the ball and maybe he had some potential. And then somewhere along the line, you know, when you get buried on that depth chart and maybe lost some confidence, that kind of went away. So, you know, long arms, really good athlete. Maybe he has taken those strides in the off season. You know, obviously we know that he's proven he can shoot the ball extremely well. So ideally, as is evident by his, you know, teammate and mentor, you know, Damian Lillard has shown you can add different skills during the off season. So maybe he was working on that.
Yeah, and also, you know, there's the factor that when you're young, you might try really, really hard, but you often are getting manipulated by more mature players who are going to use your, like you said, friskiness against you. But yeah, it was just interesting last year that Stotts made a point of emphasis to be like, dude's playing defense, so I'm putting him on the court. I looked up Dennis Smith for you here.
Oof, his defensive
rating. not as bad. I mean, 108. Yeah. Last year, then 112, go back to 107, 108, 107. So he's been solid. You know, he's an athletic guy. So I, you know, if he tried, I imagine he can be solid. So at least but man, his shooting is just, I just really don't know how they keep a guy who can't stroke the three as a 6'1 guard, like a 6'2 guard. It just doesn't make sense to me that would be high on their list of things to do when you have so many other guys who can shoot it.
Yeah, you mentioned Patrick Patterson, which, you know, I would tend to think, you know, when I saw that he was going to be part of this whole crew, I went, ooh, because he's been a guy that, you know, I've always watched and just thought was solid, right? I mean, he's a great shooter for a guy his size. You know, he doesn't really have any tremendous negatives as far as I can tell. And if you're looking for, you know, again, a team that really is going to need competent, solid players from its, when we're talking about a 9th, 10th guys for a team that wants to compete, you know, I think having that commodity versus taking a flyer that some of these other players who haven't really panned out, whether it's we talked about him last time, Marquise Chris, which you seem to be a little bit higher on than I am, whether he puts it together or but you know, Patrick Patterson, hey, why not?
Yeah, no, I like his chances too, along with Chris. I do think they need a forward more than another guard. So I kind of think one of those two, Chris or him, will make it. Chris was doing some pretty nice things in Golden State, but you know, I just looked at the stats and called up a couple highlight reels and thought, eh, I'll go with that guy. So I'm not at all trying to pretend like Patterson couldn't be the guy. So we'll see. All right. So moving along from that one, that topic. Next on my list is figuring out the best ways to use Powell and making him Norman Powell and make him more of a focal point within the offense, which is a little tricky because you have Nurkic, who we'll get to later, who wants to be a bigger part of the offense. And you still have the two ball dominant scoring dynamos of Dame and CJ, who had eventful summers. Dame got married, released an album, did 5 videos for that album, something like that. And CJ just announced that he and his wife are going to have a baby. But
starting a winery too.
And he's starting a winery.
100 acres, you know, of grapes.
These guys would go 20 and 62. They've been way too busy this offseason. I'm just kidding. I'm really intrigued by Powell because of his ability to take people off the dribble, pull up and shoot from anywhere, create his own shot. And he's unselfish. He'll give up the ball when defenses collapse on him in any way, shape, or form. And he can shoot it. He was killing it from 3 in Toronto. He struggled a little bit in Portland, said that he was just trying to get acclimated to the system and playing with these guys, and then also playing with, two ball dominant guards. But now he's had the offseason to work out with these guys coming into the season with a new coach, a new focus, and have a real training camp to work with these guys. So I'm really fascinated to see what he brings to the court and what they do with him.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, he's talk about a guy who's been loved, right? I mean, think of all the ways they've wooed him by, setting up his house and catering to his dogs and stuff that to be loved as much as the Blazers love Norm Powell from the moment he arrived. But, right. I mean, this is, he's not going to be a guy who's going to command the limelight, on any given night, but he's going to, he's so critical, I think, to the ultimate ceiling of this team. And I think ultimately just finding ways to get the ball in his hand and get out. And I don't know if Chauncey's talked about this at all, but getting out and run seemed that would be an option to get the ball in Norm's hand, because he's probably the best in the open court on this team. So I'm very excited to see what they have in store and what kind of offensive sets and whatnot. But ultimately I expect a lot of quick outlets to Norman Powell.
I mean, if he can just, like, when you look at his numbers and how they dipped when he came to Portland, he took 13.5 shots per game for Toronto and averaged 19.6 points. He comes to Portland, takes 13 shots per game, just half a shot less, and his points dropped 2.6 points per game. So it's like if he just gets to the comfort level that he had in Toronto and his numbers just stabilize back to who he normally is, then right away he's going to be bringing a couple more points to the game without even getting more opportunities. But I see him getting more opportunities and better opportunities with how Billups wants to do things. I mean, there's no reason why he can't be a true third 20-point scorer on this team without stretching really the shots any more than they already stretched, because he's so efficient when he's on.
Yeah, and just the playing off of Nurk, I think is going to be key. Those guys seem to have a good chemistry together. And Nurkic, as we know, loves to find players when they're moving. When Nurkic is healthy and on the floor. So getting those guys, hopefully, if you're talking 65 plus games with them together, that's going to be a pretty fun duo to watch, not just for Portland fans, but for fans of basketball, because those guys the highlight play is in the offing, I think, when you got those two guys together.
Right. And the other thing about him too is, Damian is obviously not afraid to penetrate and take it to the basket, but he tends to do it more often when there's a clear, obvious lane to make the clear, obvious layup. Like, he's not going in there and trying to dunk on people or make acrobatic plays. And he shouldn't. Like, why take all that contact, right? He does draw fouls. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to get texted. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, my point is, though, is that Powell wants to attack the basket. Like, he loves to be that guy, to go to the rim. He has that long reach. And with the way they were playing with jacking up all these threes, like Bill said, they weren't there was no emphasis on taking the ball really to the basket, which one of the things that I think that's going to help Simons this year is that Stotts really basically told Simons, you are killing it from the three. Keep shooting the three. That's what I want you to do. And so he rarely took the ball to the basket, but he's so quick and so athletic, he's difficult to stop. Same with Powell, who's more of a grown man. CJ's not a guy who really is going to take it to the basket. He'll take it and get his mid-range jumper, or the midi as he calls it, which I think is hilarious when he says it. I like hearing him say that. It's something when he first said it, I was like, oh, that's cool. But and Covington's not a guy who's taking it to the basket. Nance, not necessarily, especially off the dribble like that. So Powell is going to be – they're going to be putting in – play specifically to give Powell a chance to attack with his athleticism. I'm looking forward to seeing more of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, ultimately, one of the, obviously the playoff series, there's some bad taste in the mouth all around, but, there are a lot of open corner threes that Norman Powell mm-hmm. would have loved to have back. So, right. Which is, when that team was really rolling offensively, those are going to be there for him. So they're going to be there for him again this year. So beyond the catch and slash, and taking it to the rack. Oh man, some wide open threes. Hopefully, will start falling.
You are listening to the Blazer Focus Podcast. We'll be right back after a short break. Number three on my list here, if I can get it called back up here. Okay. How to better integrate Nurkic within the offense. So at the end of the season when they lost to Denver, he put on his sad face and talked about, I don't know if I want to be back. I want to be used differently, et cetera, et cetera. That more than anything, like when he was talking that way, I was really thinking, yeah, Stotts is in trouble. There was just a weird vibe after that game that, the way Dame talked as well. But when Nurk was saying that, it just made me feel like, yeah, he's really unhappy and everyone's unhappy and there's been all this talk anyway. But he had a point. Like, he had a point to a degree. One, you got to stay on the court. Like, you have to be healthy. You got to be in shape. You got to stay on the court. You got to be in foul trouble to expect the offense to be flowing through you more often, as far as I'm concerned. But Chauncey Billups has talked to me about definitely trying to take more advantage of Nurkic's passing ability. And one of the things that bugged Nurk is he felt like, I'm just out there to set screens for Damian and wait for people to jack up threes and go get the rebound. He wants to be more involved in the offense. How much would you like to see that play out?
As we were just talking about with the Norm piece, I mean, I think that's critical. And I don't think that, there's a lot of big guys, and especially, in my era growing up in the 90s, you got to feed the beast and the back to the basket, and they got to get their little, drop steps and little right. jump hooks. But I don't think that's what he's talking about. I mean, sure, he wants some more touches that are just, everyone standing around and watching Nurk take advantage of whoever happens to be guarding him because he is 7 feet tall and 300 right. pounds. But I mean, this is a guy who really, I think he, you can kind of see it in his eye. He loves making those passes. He loves being more involved, in beyond just setting those picks, which, I think that's just common sense. We need to see more of that. But as you alluded to, that's on him too. And he's got to be healthy. He's got to be on the court, yada, yada. But, having a more involved Nurkic, having more touches, doesn't mean necessarily more shots, which he's going to shoot more, I think, this year, obviously, and he should. But I mean, it's just a matter of moving the rock around, which Chauncey said is going to be key to their success, because this is a team that's been towards the bottom of the league, as we've discussed, in assists many years in a row. I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's always one of the lowest assists per game.
They were last in the league. Year.
Yeah. So, and that's a product of having two just unbelievable offensive guards who can get their own shot without help. But, as we've seen, maybe there's a different way to do it.
Exactly. So Nurk went from 13.6 shot attempts at the bubble when he returned 2 seasons ago, and 11.5 the year before, 12 and 11.8 to 9 last year. Now his minutes dropped though. So his minutes dropped dramatically from the bubble from 31.6 to 23.8. Of course, his points went down, but his shooting percentage actually was up. So he was shooting better, but getting fewer shots. His overall shooting percentage was elevated, even though he actually started shooting some threes. His 3-point percentage ended up being 40. And I don't think he's necessarily going to be that. If he were to be that, even on 1.5 a game, oh my God, now you have a baby Jokic, right? Yeah, 11.5 points, 9 rebounds, 3.4 assists, and 23.8 minutes. If he's playing 32 minutes, he's going to give you 18, 10, and 5, man. And if you can get that from him all season long for 65 games, then the Blazers are going to win 50 plus games and be a top 3 seed. I'll call it right now. He has to stay healthy. I think he's definitely going to be motivated because he's in what? A contract year. He wants to get paid, man. He wants to go out there and average 18, 10, and 5. Because if he does that, he's going to get a $100 million deal, at least a $90 million deal like Powell did. So I'm very interested to see what happens with him and how they work to get him more involved in the offense.
And we talked about, you know, feeling the love like Norman Powell felt the love, but Nurkic kind of needs that love in a way that Powell doesn't. Oh my God, you know. Yeah. So by all accounts, a kind of a needy guy, which, you know, hey, you know, I love how he was wearing the Two-Face suit at that playoff game where they were ultimately ousted, the two different colors, and kind of mirrored the maybe two different Nurkic's that you get. So yeah, but by all accounts, you know, everyone seems to be you know, saying that he's got the right mindset and he's putting in the work. So now it's just, we'll see. Hopefully he's healthy. Yeah.
Okay, number two, and this falls in line with a little bit of what we talked about with Nurkic and Powell, reining in the three-point mindset. Stop jacking up threes early in the shot clock. Stop shooting step-back threes and difficult threes and move the ball, pass the ball. This is going to be one of Chauncey Billups' biggest points of emphasis. Now, we all know the Blazers are one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league. They're one of the best offenses in the league. But there were some complaints from some fans and some other people that the overall style of play wouldn't work in the playoffs because teams would just deny the three and the Blazers wouldn't be equipped to create other shots and do other things. And this is what Billups talked to me about as well. One, I want to ask you, how did you feel about the three-point bonanza last season when shooting 40.8 per game? And are you looking forward to tweaking that a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I felt it felt at times like too much, to say the least. I mean, there are games where, you know, I can't think of a specific instance, but there are a few games down the stretch run where, you know, if I know it's a make them or miss them league, but sometimes let's just be honest. When you're missing them is when you're upset. I mean, when they're going down, you're not as,
yeah, when they're going in, as upset. Who cares, right?
Who cares? But, no, I mean, I think for all the reasons we already talked about, when you got players like Jusuf Nurkić and Norman Powell who have variety to their game, I mean, CJ, you know, boosted his points per game last year by, you know, shooting more threes, which I think is a good thing. It's going to be a true test for this first year coach to try to do all of these things and keep all these players happy, because ultimately what's really going to matter is if this is a winning formula. Had to just go back to the playoffs where, you know, Dame had to go God mode and made however many threes against Denver. And they still lost despite, you know, all these shots that he was putting up. You know, if you're,
that was because of my number one issue, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah, exactly. Because we're dancing around kind of the elephant in the room, which was, you know,
the elephant's in the corner. Wait.
Yeah.
Hurry up, man.
Yeah, we'll get to it. But I mean, all we can talk about this stuff, like offensively, these guys have proven they can score in a basically however they want to. So I think spreading it around, they're all very smart players. I think it'll work, but it's going to come down to this last thing we're going to talk about, I think, right, to see what really matters.
So here's some Blazers numbers real quick. They were 29th in wide open threes, which accounted for just 14.6% of their threes while shooting 43.2% on, wait, Yeah. Anyway, Utah led the NBA with 23.9% of its threes being considered wide open, which is no defender within 6 feet. So when the Blazers shot a three that was wide open, they shot 43.2%.
That's good.
Off the charts. Their season average was right around 37, 38. So clearly that's a situation where, of course, anyone would want more wide open threes. And one of the reasons Billups believes they can change that number, increase that percentage to be closer to where Utah is, where 24% of their threes were considered wide open, is by moving the ball more, passing it. Don't just take the early three. And someone was talking bad about Anthony Simons the other day, and I got really territorial because that's my dude. I love that guy. He's going to be really, really good when he gets a shot. So I went to his highlight reel, and I was going to pick out all the clips where he took it to the basket or shot a midi or whatever, right? And you had to go through like six threes, and then there'd be driving basket, seven more threes, and then because that's what he was told to do.
Right.
And it was one of the things Gary Trent used to do too. Those guys, if there was any just – glimpse that they could get off the three, it was going up. It didn't care where the guy was guarding him. And Dame's the same way sometimes. And that's what Chauncey Billups wants to change. Now, the Blazers led the NBA in tightly contested three at point attempts, which is within 2 to 4 feet. 9% of their threes were of that variety, and they made 34.1. So there shows the disparity between contested versus wide open. Now, what's fascinating, though, is that they actually led the NBA in open threes. So this team was the worst at taking contested threes, the worst at taking wide open, but the best at open.
And open is just somewhere in between.
So open is within 4 feet. Or 4 to 6, sorry. 4 to 6, and then no defender within 6. Yeah. So yeah. 4 to 6 is, which, I mean, that's, you know.
So it's like the porridge is not too hot or not too cold. It's just exactly right type of thing.
And in the NBA, too, 4 to 6 feet, like these guys can all leap 4 to 6 feet without in a single bound, right? So this, it's still, but I just, when I saw that, I was just like, that's just bizarre. But anyway, they were 28th in drive points, which goes back to the Powell thing, driving to the basket. 20.4 points per game were just off the drive compared to the league leader like San Antonio at 31 points. And then they ranked 26th in catch and shoot points compared to the Clippers who led the NBA where Billups coached. So that's where you're setting someone up for the catch and the shoot. And of course, they were last in assists at 21. So these are all the things they want. That Chauncey Billups wants to fix, and he believes ball movement and not settling for just jacking up the three because you can is going to help.
Yeah, it all sounds good. So now, but
oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you talk about the Utah and the San Antonio comparisons where, you know, they don't have talent that's dramatically different in terms of the ability to put the ball on the floor or just move the ball around, right? I mean, Mike Conley's always hurt. Joe Ingles handles the ball a lot, but, you know, Donovan Mitchell, obviously, he's the creator, but you don't think of, what's his name? The sixth man.
Clarkson,
you don't think of Jordan Clarkson as being a facilitator either. So it's really something that you look at it, Portland's personnel, and they have a lot of guys who can create, and they have guys who, you know, are willing passers. In theory, you should be able to get more of those wide open threes that you talked about.
Yeah, and I don't feel like this is like a selfish team. Like we're not trying to get Allen Iverson to give up the ball. No offense to Allen Iverson, but Allen Iverson loved to shoot the rock. Like I think Lillard, and I remember having just massive debates about this at a place I worked before, NBC Sports Northwest, where we talked about, and I'd be like, Dame is a shoot first point guard, and people would actually argue with me about, he averages 6 assists. He needs to be averaging 9. Like to me, they're a better team if he's 25 and 9 or 10. As opposed to 29 and 6 or 7, like give up the rock a little bit. And I think he would do that. But when you're easily the best player on your team and your 3-point shot developed the way it did the last 3 years and the rim just looks so juicy, you're going to take those. And your coach, Terry Stotts, wants to shoot more threes. He's not going to rein that in. I think Billups will rein that in a little bit so that that'll help these numbers all improve in these areas. And you could be talking about literally just three, let's say you just got, you took three of the contested threes per game and you flipped them into wide open threes, right? And you make one or two of those per game. That's 3 to 6 points different per game. And you fix your defense. Like, you're talking about creating that point differential that's just going to lead to more wins.
Yeah, no, I think that's the formula. And I think, you know, Damian Lillard has a supermax contract. He doesn't have anything else to prove. And I think, you know, you hit on his development. I think a lot of it hinged on after the West Batum LaMarcus team broke up. I mean, there's a lot of responsibility on his shoulders for many years. And I think he also didn't have the trust in teammates a lot, that they were a better option, if you move the ball three or four extra times per game. But when you're moving it to, you know, Norman Powell, or to, you know, maybe a healthy and motivated and fit Jusuf Nurkić, and then obviously your wingman and CJ, hopefully he's a little more willing on that end, but they also have to take advantage of those opportunities, and then those assist totals will rise.
Right, exactly. And one of the reasons, you know, they brought in McLemore and Snell, Billups said, was that those guys are willing to play D and they can stroke it, especially when they're open. They're not necessarily as great as maybe Dame is at shooting over someone or getting step back, right? But if you're playing a system where you're creating more open looks and you have bench guys who are willing to play decent defense and they're going to stick that three when they're open, especially from the corner where Billups wants to increase 3-point shots, then those guys are going to be extremely valuable. So when people were laughing at it and mocking it and blah, blah, like it's the more about the fit in terms of what they want to do than it is about how great they are individually. Snell shot 55% from 3-point range last year. He only took 100, but if that's your backup three coming off the bench and waiting for the kickback from Lillard or Powell or somewhere, or, you know, Nurkić kicking it out to him or whatever, and he's going to shoot 50% or even 45, that's a huge asset, given what you want to do offensively.
Yeah. I mean, any Blazer fan, I think, will recall it surely seems like Tony Snell is one of those guys, like the Beno Udrit school of Blazer killers, where just whenever he played the Blazers, man, even if he wasn't hitting shots, I just felt like he made life impossible. I don't know. He's got deceptively long arms, but yeah, there's lots to look forward to, but let's get to your last one.
Yes, let's do, because none of this will matter. They still go out there and play garbage defense. So I have the link together. Billups needs to get Dame and CJ completely bought in on defense and change the entire defensive mindset of the team. Stotts basically lost his job, and Neil Olshey put it out there as plainly as I've ever seen a GM put out anything regarding a coach being fired, that the defense wasn't good enough. He went out and got Covington and Derrick Jones Jr. to improve the defense. They were 29th. He didn't care that CJ missed games, and CJ actually had the best defensive rating of all the guards on the team. Actually, he was one of the top three on the team, period. And that Nurkić was out. They were ranked down there with teams that were not even really trying to win. Orlando, Cleveland, you know, Minnesota was down there, and it was just unacceptable. And part of it was the mindset of the team. And part of that is on Dame and CJ, which I think they've kind of admitted, and they've said they're going to buy in, and they want Billups to hold them accountable. But that is a number one thing, and it's going to start during training camp. When someone in training camp is missing a rotation and not doing what they're supposed to do, Billups, I believe, is going to come down on them, because he wants to change. It's a mindset. It's a culture. You have to change it to where, and Powell talked about this, at Toronto, they had a culture of defense. Portland, not so much. So that's going to fall on Billups, and it starts with Dame and CJ.
Yeah, he's talked about playing team defense, right? Which makes me think of, you know, AAU basketball. And it's like, everyone, you know, make sure you're responding, like, and you got your arms out, passing lanes. I mean, it seems like elemental stuff, right? But, like, I mean, these guys, they have to know what is needed of them. You know, they're very, very smart guys, but it's at some point it comes down to a capability more than anything else. Because I don't know schematically, you know, other than having a healthy use of Nurkic back there, what kind of tweaks we're talking about. But you know, maybe he's, it's, it seems like it's effort. And, you know, you don't get to be a 30-year-old, NBA player who's been playing basketball your whole life and not know, you know, how to play defense. It's a hard position playing, guard in the NBA, playing, point guard, guarding point guards. Obviously it's very hard. It's very taxing, especially when you carry a heavy load on the other end, but, you know, maybe some of the stuff we just talked about previously, take some of the load off offensively and they can crank it up a little bit defensively. Cause I mean, that's what it's going to have to take. I mean, these guys are going to have to be there to help out the big fella down low. Cause if they're not providing any resistance up front, then it's really, then you're getting into a series of dominoes where it's not going to be good for Nurk or for foul trouble or for anything.
Well, based on my conversations with Billups, the part of the plan is they brought in some guards who can shoot. They want to take some pressure off of Lillard. And we're not talking about him going from 28 points a game to 22, but it might fall a little bit, or the scoring totals might not come down, but maybe the shots come down and the minutes just a little bit. But his efficiency goes up because he's not taking as many bad threes, right? He's getting better threes because of the ball movement. But then he can expend more energy on defense. And Billups said, like, look, I don't, you know, those two did so much, Dame and CJ, that they knew if they picked up two fouls in the first quarter because they were being aggressive, then now they're going to come out. Well, now he's saying, well, we don't want that to happen. But if that does happen, they believe they have some veteran guards and then the evolution of Simons to go in there and eat up some minutes and take some pressure off those guys so they can devote more energy to the defensive side. Now, here's what's funny about this whole defensive rating thing that people love to talk about. So the Blazers ranked 29th. Their defensive rating was 116.6 points per 100 possessions. The Suns ranked 10th at 112.1. So you're talking about 4.4 points per 100 possessions. That's literally two baskets or a three and a free throw. It's not that huge of a leap. So if you just give better overall effort and you contest a little bit more and you're in a guy's face a little bit more and you're more disruptive and you force maybe one more turnover or one more deflected pass, you can easily go from 116 to 112 in 100 possessions easily. Like it wouldn't be that difficult just on effort alone. So if Chauncey Billups is serious and Dame is serious, and Chauncey said, we're going to find out who really wants to win. And he meant Dame. He meant CJ. Do you guys really want to win or you just want to win? If you really want to win, you're going to play some damn defense and we're going to be a better defensive team. Not just, you know, when it counts in the last 2 minutes, but the entire game. So that maybe with 4 minutes to go, we're not down four, we're up four. And so it's just going to be, I think it's going to be fun to watch to see what happens. Cause if they're still sucking on defense, everyone to me is going to be all over Chauncey, all over Dame. Like just like, okay. You complained this summer that you want to see the urgency to contend. Well,
yeah.
You have to display the urgency to play defense.
Yeah, no, I think everything you said just is spot on. And you know, Dame has shown flashes of being, especially in the post. He's not a horrific defender, but I mean, that's not a situation that comes his way.
He
a lot.
Can D up one on one when he wants to on guys his size. He's athletic enough and he's smart enough.
He's strong.
But it's the totality of the entire, you know, game and possessions. How many times is he just not getting over to somebody and let them shoot the three and they drain it? You know, that's the problem.
Yeah. And that's something that, Blazer fans are all too accustomed to past few years. But, I mean, yeah, we're going to next week, at Media Day, you're going to hear a lot of, you know, company lines, right? I mean, it's kind of the put your best foot forward in terms of message, and I'm sure that's going to be top of mind, obviously from Billups, but also from Dame and CJ in terms of the defensive effort.
And I think it's going to happen. Like when you bring in a guy like Billups, who's going to command respect, given that he's a player who won a point guard and play defense, won a championship, sorry, and play defense. I think it's going to happen. I think the mindset will change. Anyway, that's my list of five. But before we jet, let's get to the today's hot button issue. Ben Simmons, according to Stephen A. Smith, there's a report out that Ben Simmons has told the Sixers that he's not reporting to training camp. No way, no how. Trade him or else he's prepared to sit the season and give up $33 million. Someone asked me, would I do that? I'm like, no, I'm showing up to training camp. I'm just going to have a lot of nagging injuries. It's going to be a toe one day, then a calf, then an ankle, then a shoulder, then my shin bone, and then whatever's connected to the shin bone. Like, cause I'm getting my $33 million. I'm sorry. I'm not lighting $33 million on fire. I can sit in the cold tub and get my $33 million. But Stephen A. Smith came out and said that the Blazers have put on the table CJ McCollum, Robert Covington, and two first round picks for Ben Simmons. Now, there's some salary issues there. So there would probably have to be another player that would come back because CJ and Covington make a combined $42 million and Simmons, is about $33 million. I'm not sure if their trade exception could be thrown in there or whatever. But anyway, that's all nuts and bolts for them to figure out later. The principal players are CJ Covington picks for Ben Simmons. I ask you, lover of the Blazers, would you do that deal?
Oh, man, that seems like a lot at face value. I mean, I guess I could easily feel differently about that if that other asset from the Sixers is Matisse Thybul, but I don't think that's in the offing. But, that's interesting. I can't help but think that the Sixers camp must have put that out because what incentive would the Blazers have to put that on the table when you've got a situation in Philly where they don't have a lot of leverage right now? You know, they are really they're kind of at Ben Simmons and Clutch Sports is mercy. So the situation that we've talked about previously where the fan brain is starting to creep in a little bit, where it's like CJ McCollum has been such a part of my rooting interest and fandom for so long that it's hard to tamp that down. But if a CJ for Ben thing, you know, I still think that's the deal that makes the most sense. And if CJ does go away, he'll always have roots here and he'll have this winery that we can all talk about this some years in the future once the vines mature, which takes time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think CJ McCollum is going to go nuts this season. Like, he was killing it last year before he got hurt. I think he's going to benefit a lot from the new mindset on offense, moving the ball around. I think it's going to result in a lot of good open looks for him, and he's going to deliver. He's going to deliver a big season. If I'm Philly, I want him because he can create his own shot. You put him with Embiid, I think you're going to be pretty good with Tobias Harris as well. I do think it's a lot for Portland to give up. I would rather do CJ and the picks, not McCollum. But to be honest with you, the picks, dude, people, when they get all up in arms about late first round draft picks, it just makes me chuckle. It's like, just go on Basketball Reference and look at the last 10 NBA drafts, picks 10 through 30, and tell me how many of those guys are any good. It's like the 10% hit rate, literally. There's just not that many good players in that range. That's why teams will give up those picks, because if you get Ben Simmons and you keep Damian healthy, he's going to be here, those picks are going to be in the 20s. So the picks are worthless to me. Covington thing, I think, would hurt a little bit, but he has 1 year remaining on his deal. Are you really going to bring him back? Whereas Ben Simmons is 25. And let's say, here's the other thing. Let's say Dame isn't happy next summer, regardless of what happens. He wants out. Now you have Ben Simmons you can build around with Anthony Simons and then whatever haul you get for Lillard. And you wouldn't bring back Covington anyway. So for me, if they draw a line in the sand, I'm doing it and I'm starting Damian Lillard. Norman Powell moves to the two. Ben Simmons, Nance, and Nurkic. I'm good. And I'm rolling with that. And I think they win 50 plus games. And I think their defense is going to be close to elite, probably. And they're going to be really good.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe take solace in the fact that Nasir Little isn't part of that. Maybe, I don't know, for contract reasons, probably more than anything else. But yeah, it's it's hard when you're talking about a top 10 scorer in your franchise history. And another,
you're too emotional.
I know.
Man.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, man. I mean, is Ben Simmons gonna bring it? I hope so.
Well, okay. Great. Perfect question. But my thing is, I still believe, and I've said this numerous times on this podcast, Damian Lillard, if Damian Lillard and Chauncey Billups can't get him to grow up, nobody can. And that, you definitely have a conversation. Like Damian and Chauncey in a three-way, get him on the phone and be like, look, dude, we think you can come here and make a difference, but you have to work and you have to be on board and change your mentality to a winner's mentality. Are you capable of doing that? And if he says, nah, dog, I'm cool, then you don't make the deal. Like, it's that simple to me. But if he says, yeah, man, I want to come there and be a part of what you're doing, I'm ready to take the next step and follow your leadership, then you make that deal just as soon as you can.
Yeah, no, I think that's the rub. And we, you know, those are conversations that if they're happening, we're not going to be able to dial into the Zoom machine and watch them happen, unfortunately. But no shortage of storylines, though. I mean, this is definitely a, you know, when a team that's been kind of status quo, you know, with in terms of the key players for a long time and the coaching staff, you've got an interesting one to cover here starting next week.
Oh, yeah. It will definitely not be boring. All right. I think we've exhausted everything. You got anything else?
No.
We good?
Looking forward to it.
Okay. So next week, we'll be back. Media Day, as I said, is Monday. We'll have a podcast out either Monday or Tuesday. And the legend Joe Freeman is going to join me, I believe. So that'll be good. Talk to him again. He's had a very eventful, chilling summer. And now he's doing an assignment that has kept him away from us. But we're going to get him back on Monday. Be sure to give us a nice rating and subscribe so you can always get us wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back next week as we hit the ground running with training camp as we head to a very pivotal season in the history of the Blazers. What's Lillard going to do? What's Chauncey going to do? Oh, my. We'll see.